This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. America's civil rights movement of the 1950s and 60s was fueled by larger-than-life figures, including Martin Luther King Jr. But there were lesser-known characters who, in small yet significant ways, acted as catalysts for racial change. One of the most unlikely was a flamboyant white professional wrestler named Sputnik Monroe. He shook up Memphis in the late 1950s and left a legacy still intact more than 40 years later. NPR's Tom Goldman reports.
Sputnik Monroe. Surely a funny name like that had to be cooked up by some wrestling promoter with a wild imagination. In fact, it was created by an old lady in Mobile, Alabama, in a fit of racial hatred. It was 1957, and the wrestler then known as Rock Monroe showed up for a match in Mobile with his arm around a black friend. The woman, a white spectator, screamed racial epithets. In response, Monroe kissed his black friend on the cheek. The woman figured the worst thing she could call someone during that time of the Cold War was a communist, so she screamed the name of a famous Russian satellite.
And she said, "What he really is a damn Sputnik." Everybody raised hell about it. The ring announcer, the commentator, everybody picked up on the Sputnik thing, because Wednesday the Sputnik went up, and Saturday I was accused of being one.
The name stuck, and in late 1957, Sputnik Monroe roared into Memphis, a hotbed of rock and roll and the home of Elvis Presley. Advertising himself as 220 pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal, Monroe looked like a combination of Elvis and Marlon Brando. He had a white streak in the front of his dark hair and a wild streak in the ring that made wrestling promoters nervous. In a legendary match, he was disqualified after ripping off the mask of a hooded opponent with his teeth and then chewing a hole in the man's forehead. This combination of menace and charisma alone could have made Monroe a star of the Memphis wrestling scene, but he came to that segregated southern city and blazed a much wider trail, right through the racial divide.
People in Memphis like to ignore what's going on, and Sputnik wouldn't let them do it.
Jim Dickinson is a Memphis record producer and musician.
He was continually like the grain of sand in the oyster, you know, that makes the pearl. He was a constant irritant. On television, on the newspaper, he'd get in trouble. If he couldn't get any press any other way, he'd go out and start a fight. And there was always some vague racial overtone to it.
Whites weren't allowed on parts of the city's famous Beale Street, then the hub of the black community, so Sputnik Monroe would go there and repeatedly get arrested for vagrancy. He'd go to Dillard's department store with a black friend and tell the friend to keep his hat on, which blacks weren't supposed to do in white-owned businesses. Sputnik Monroe.
When you're for the underdog, you're a rebel. And probably part of it was the rebel in me. But I'm not going to take my damn hat off to anybody.
Jim Dickinson says something more subtle was happening between blacks and whites in Memphis, and Sputnik Monroe intuitively knew it. Despite using separate water fountains and lunch counters, people were taking tentative steps across the racial divide, thanks in large part to the music industry. White musicians, like Elvis, were bringing black music to white audiences. Dickinson says for the first time, this revealed to many in white Memphis the strength of black culture and community.
Elvis was just implying it. Sputnik was verbalizing it and talking about it, and you were definitely not supposed to do that.
Sputnik Monroe made his strongest statement during his fabled matches at the downtown Ellis Auditorium. The locals called it Monday Night Wrestling. It drew huge crowds that at first were segregated. Black wrestling fans were relegated to the very top balcony, crudely referred to as the crow's nest. But they weren't forgotten when the house lights went down and Sputnik Monroe entered the ring. Jim Dickinson went to many of the matches.
He'd walk to the center of the ring, and the white audience downstairs and in the first balcony or second balcony even would boo him, you know, and then the blacks wouldn't say a word. They would just be sitting there. And the boos would all subside, and then Sputnik would walk to the center of the ring and throw his arms up like that, and the blacks would just go crazy.
The group of fans Sputnik Monroe pointed to in that uppermost balcony sometimes included Jim Sellers.
Sputnik decided to identify with a group of people who sort of were there but had no one to champion. So he says, hey, and it sort of became, he's our man thing.
The connection turned out to be much more significant. Because blacks were confined to the farthest reaches of the auditorium, a man at the front door limited the number of blacks who could get in. But Sputnik Monroe began paying that man to look the other way. So black fans poured into Ellis. Once the top section filled up, the overflow black crowd spilled into the seats down below, next to white fans, like Jim Dickinson.
Successfully integrating the Memphis audience, a thing that the federal government failed to do. Sputnik Monroe did it. And how did he do it? By cheating, you know, his own rules.
Whatever it takes to win. Win if you can, lose if you must, but always cheat.
Certainly, there's an aspect of Sputnik Monroe's wrestling motto that explains why he took on the segregated status quo. But those who knew him in Memphis say his connection to African Americans was genuine. His boyhood experiences seem to have played a part.
I grew up with a nanny. She had the patience of God. You know, colored lady who was just outstanding. And I thought, boy, what a great people, you know.
Altruism aside, his role as the anti-establishment hero of black Memphis brought him stardom beyond the wrestling world. He hung out at the legendary Sun Recording Studio with Elvis, Jerry Lee Lewis, and other top Memphis entertainers of the time. He even recorded his own songs, like That's the South.
Fried side meat, fried corn, fried candy yams, fried bread, fried greens, tomatoes, everything fried, man. That's the South, fried.
In white Memphis neighborhoods, he was reviled by many adults and adored by rebellious kids. There were no split loyalties in the black parts of town, which would be transformed during Sputnik Monroe's Saturday morning wrestling matches on television. Gustin Davis, who works for the city, remembers.
You could hear the whole neighborhood yelling and hollering while wrestling was going on. And at the time, you thought he was defeated. He was down. He wasn't going to get back up. You'd be sitting there like, staring at the TV, and he jumps up and he shakes his head like the Three Stooges does, and he stiffens both legs and he do that Sputnik walk, and hey, it was on, man. After the wrestling was over, that's what we did. We went outdoors and everybody was just wrestling and doing the Sputnik walk, you know, doing that thing.
Today, at age 72, Sputnik Monroe still seems ready to take on the world, much to the surprise of his mail carrier.
Oh, I thought you wanted to wrestle.
He lives with his wife Joanne and two cats in an apartment outside of Houston, Texas. His Memphis heyday was a long time ago, but he still bristles at the suggestion that he was a civil rights do-gooder. "I'm a doer," he growls, "and probably too much of one," back when civil rights organizers tried to recruit him for nonviolent protests.
They asked me to ride on a bus in Alabama one time, go from Memphis to Alabama, and I said, "I want to tell all my colored friends that I'm not passive. If they shoot at the bus, I'm coming off with a machine gun. If you make a wrong move with me, I'm going to eat your arm off."
Ironically, Monroe's successful efforts to integrate the Memphis wrestling audience may have signaled the end of wrestling at Ellis Auditorium, which since has been torn down. After the audience became mixed, the house lights stayed on during the matches. Some say the glare killed the excitement. Memphis would go through years of protests and the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. before there was widespread integration. But Monroe's entertaining romp through town did leave its mark, and the proof is in the smiles and a few sneers when Memphians of a certain age hear the name Sputnik. Tom Goldman, NPR News.